Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Have you been seriously injured? Mama Justice is here for you. Our medical team partners with top-notch doctors, surgeons, therapists, and urologists, ensuring a comprehensive recovery journey. If you've been injured, call Mama Justice today. We're here for you.
You're listening to the Rebel Report podcast, where it's all Ole Miss all the time. Here's your host, Michael Borky.
All right, here we go. Off and running on this Tuesday night. Glad that you guys are with me. I know baseball is literally going on right now, so I appreciate you being here despite that fact. It is 11-5 in the bottom of the sixth. Ole Miss, knock on wood, everybody. I might just ruin this for you. Ole Miss appears to be taking care of business in the midweek. So we'll see, obviously, if they're able to get it done. It's, again, 11-5. Leger just hit a home run, and Ole Miss appears to be in control after a pretty disastrous start. I was not going to wait until the end of this game. I know I promised you I would. But considering the current score and the time of night, I mean, this game is a 2-hour and 20-minute game, and they are in the sixth inning right now. I'm not going to wait till the end. The things that we're going to talk about tonight, quite frankly, don't really have anything to do with this game itself. So if anything noteworthy happens, we will talk about it. I'm just glad that you guys are here, and I appreciate you being here. So let's get to it. Welcome to Rebel Report Live. My name is Michael Borky. Follow me Twitter, Facebook, and YouTube at Michael Borky, B-O-R-K-E-Y. And wherever you get your podcasts, subscribe to this one. Just search Rebel Report, subscribe, and leave a rating and a review. So the lead topic tonight is something that, frankly, I think that I am going to spend too much time on, an unnecessary amount of time on, but the second the radio show started today, we got a handful of messages, and then they came throughout the show, of people wondering how real the rumors that Quinshon Judkins wants to return to Ole Miss are. And so I knew you guys were going to ask about it, so I figured we'd just jump right in on it. Two things can be true at once. That's what I should name this show. Two, TTCBTAO. I wonder what that spells out. Two things can be true at once. One, nothing at all that happens in college football these days should surprise anybody. Any possibility of anything happening should not be just totally, completely dismissed because you saw an Alabama player transfer from Alabama to Iowa and then 2 months later transfer back to Alabama. College football is kind of crazy these days. It's wild. As Ross Dellinger says, believe nothing, consider everything, or something like that. I think that's what he says. Believe nothing, consider everything. So nothing would surprise me. No player transferring from this school to that school or whatever at this point would surprise me. However, I will say that as a general rule, when you see something on the internet and it is being perpetuated, shared, broken by a social media account that does not have a name or a face associated with it, your first reaction to that should be skepticism. If you see somebody that's nameless, that's faceless, that doesn't link back to a publication, your first thought when you see something that they report should be, I don't know about that. Every time, as a general principle. Now, sometimes, rarely, but sometimes, those kind of things end up being accurate. It has happened before. It will happen again. Just as a general principle, you should meet something like that with immediate skepticism, because there's nothing to hold people that do stuff like that accountable, right? That they have no boss. they don't even have their name out there. So their name can't be impacted anyway because it's not out there. There's no publication that employs them that they have to at least attempt to be accurate. There's no checks and balances with what they share. It's just stuff that they can just put on the internet for stuff like this to go wild. And it doesn't matter if it's true or not, because there's nothing, that there's no accountability on the back end of something like that. For what it's worth, I asked a couple of people that I think would know something like that, if there was any validity to them whatsoever. I got a response from only one of the two right away. And the response was, what the hell are you talking about? So I tried to ask myself, and it went nowhere, because frankly, as of this moment, I don't think that there's anything to it. I think that when you've got a situation where anonymous accounts are able to share stuff like that, it creates kind of like a news cycle out of no valid information. And then, of course, you look at, you know, the comments and stuff like that, and I saw a couple people under a tweet say, well, Neil McCready said that it was real. That is not what Neil McCready said. Neil McCready said that he had heard rumors but cannot speak to their validity. That is a very different thing than confirming that it's real. And so, you know, I feel bad for Neil. I don't know how far that's going or how far that's spreading, but that is absolutely not what he said at all. All he said was, there's a rumor out there and he cannot speak to its validity. And then he followed it up with, I doubt that there's any truth to that. You guys, if you're not aware, and most of you that listen to this or watch this are, the volume, the sheer volume of rumors that get spread that go nowhere is far more than the rumors that get spread that end up being accurate. Now, again, some of them are. This anonymous Twitter account could be right, and Quinshon Judkins could want to come back to Ole Miss and is trying to work that out right now. But until anything more reputable is to speak on its validity, then it should be met with skepticism. I don't believe it. I think the breakup between him and Ole Miss was extremely messy, to the point where I would be shocked beyond measure if there was any actual truth to this from a both sides want this to happen perspective. I mean, right after everything went down and he hit the portal, there was some communication, if you believe you know, what I'm and other people are told, that there was some at least desire to return immediately, but it wasn't reciprocated. That breakup was ugly. It was really, really ugly and messy. And I don't know if a couple of months away are enough time to repair the damage that was done there, if he even would want to return, which there's no reason at this moment to believe that there is. So is it possible? It's certainly possible. Could this person have thrown something against the wall and it stuck this time? Absolutely true. Absolutely could have. 100%. It's possible that this person has deep inside information and this is him breaking news. Meet anonymous stuff like this. And I don't mean anonymous sources. I mean the anonymous accounts with skepticism. Until something more reputable comes along, you should think that there's really nothing real to this. Certainly possible that person's right. Certainly possible that I'm wrong in my initial assessment. Never say never in college football. But right now, I just don't buy it. The podcast is brought to you by Advantage Business Systems. Check them out online, absms.com. That's the website if your Mississippi business is in the market for office technology. Check them out online. Advantage Business Systems has you covered for all of your Mississippi office technology needs. Tell them I sent you. You'll get a complimentary office technology assessment. So you tell them what you need and what your budget is, and they will find a solution for you on me. That's Advantage Business Systems, absms.com. The podcast is also brought to you by Priority One Bank. Let them make you their priority. They got 16 locations here in Mississippi, so there's likely one in your backyard. a bank with me at Priority One Bank. They make me their priority. They got local loan servicing and decision making. So you don't need to hop on Zoom and talk to somebody out of state or on the phone to get a loan or to have that loan serviced. All you need is to walk into your Priority One Bank location, and it'll be someone that you'll sit down with face to face, because Priority One Bank makes you their priority. The other news item today, aside from this baseball game, again, it's 11-5 in the bottom of the seventh. So again, it appears that Ole Miss is working towards taking care of business here. Is Mike Bianco changing his rotation again? It was as expected, kind of what we thought was going to happen. I thought that Liam Doyle was going to pitch on Friday night. That is not the case, but the other pieces are the same. Riley Maddox is going to pitch on Friday night against Kentucky for Ole Miss, Liam Doyle on Saturday, and Gunnar Dennis is going to get one more shot on a weekend. And I think that's justified on Sunday. So this was expected, and it was a good decision by Mike Bianco. I credit him for being willing to be so flexible with his rotation, you know, in the absence of Hunter Elliott, in the absence of Rivas. Now JT Quinn's not available with his back injury. So being willing to do a lot of shuffling in his rotation, I think is a good thing. It's a positive sign. It worked on the national championship team. As I remind people sometimes, Dylan DeLucia wasn't a starter on the Ole Miss national championship team, regular starter, until April. So, you know, tinkering with a rotation this late into the season is totally fine. Riley Maddox has earned this opportunity. I think that he has shown you the ability to get through 5-6 innings of even good lineups and allow this seemingly now pretty darn good Ole Miss offense to generate some runs. Ole Miss is really, really good. I forget the exact stat. I saw it earlier. Gosh, I forgot it. I should have written it down. But Ole Miss is, I think, undefeated when their starter goes 6 complete, giving up 3 runs or fewer so far this season. I think that's the stat. Either way, I think he has the ability to limit the runs, limit the mistakes, go deeper into games. He's earned the opportunity. I think that he can do well in this role. We'll find out, of course, if he's able to do so. But it was a good decision by Mike Bianco to change the rotation the way he did, and we'll see if it works. If it doesn't work, you go back and you tinker some more. But I like the decision. It had to happen. The order in which they are pitching is, you know, I guess up for debate, but you can explain Doyle on Fridays and Maddox on Saturdays, and you can explain Maddox on Fridays and Doyle on Saturdays. I think either decision would be a fine one. There's no real wrong way to go about this, at least I don't think, especially considering the injuries. I think that he's balancing this as best as he can, trying to figure this out. And again, we shall see if it works for Ole Miss. So we'll get to your comments now, and yeah, appreciate it. Lead off with a super chat. Found some folks to donate to the Curtain Rod Collective, so their money is in this as well. Well, thank you, my friend PTG Brandon, PTG Outdoors, and everybody that donated to the Curtain Rod Collective. I thank you a ton for doing that and being a part of this. I'm very thankful for you and everybody that is in the Curtain Rod Collective. No amount of super chats, though, is going to change that. Literally not one super chat will ever change my circumstances, or excuse me, change the circumstances of the falling curtain rod. But I appreciate you guys, and thank you very, 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 very much. So anyway. No possible way Judkins wants to come back, right? I can't imagine that would be an easy transition back from either corner. No, look, I mean, the practical thought here, I mean, it makes no sense. It makes absolutely no sense whatsoever. And frankly, I think it would be a really bad decision, honestly, for both of them to do it. Now, don't get me wrong. He's an elite level back. Absolutely electric. I mean, he's got balance. He's got power. He is so good. I mean, there is a small subset of people that think that, you know, he's actually not that good. And I couldn't possibly disagree with them more. He's an elite level player, I keep going back to the way the breakup happened. It was so ugly. And I just am not sure that you're going to be able to get a unified front on a decision like that. Maybe, maybe 2 months has been enough time for him to figure it out and try to win the locker room back. But I talked to somebody that donates, probably not the most money in the collective, but a significant amount of money to the collective that would have serious issues with his money going towards a Quinshon Judkins return. I mean, it really makes no sense from all sides with the way the breakup went down. Really makes no sense. I don't see it happening. If it does, it does, and we'll talk about it. Absolutely. As I tell you guys all the time, I am wrong often, but it just doesn't make any sense at all. But because of how quickly the rumor spread, we had to talk about it on the show today. And I'm having to talk about it with you guys here now. But again, until something more reputable comes along, it's just not worth entertaining. Seeing Q's mom and Ohio State fans get riled up at the same time Princely threw Florida under the bus made for a hilarious sports day. Yeah, holy crap at that quote. I mean, if you don't know what I'm talking about here when it comes to the Princely Uman Mielen quote, can I play it for you? Can you hear it? I might have to play it off my phone. I'm going to play it off my phone. Let's see. This was Princely. I wish I had a better setup, but I don't. This was Princely Uman Mielen today.
Some things you wanted to
it's
work
horrible
on this
that I do it this way. But
I feel like last year I excelled at, get pass rushing. I didn't have like my sacks. It wasn't double digit. It didn't like pop off the screen. But if you go and watch the film, I would get to the quarterback a lot, like right before he would throw the ball and things like that. So I had a lot of good pass rush reps. I feel like I was one of the best in the country as far as pass rushing. I feel like this season, I could work on something that from last season I could work on better is my drops and my attacking the run game a little bit. But I feel like here I'm getting coached harder for things like that. I feel like at Florida, like the way I was coached, it was kind of like it was almost as if like they was just telling me to go out there and use my talent, if that makes sense. But here, Coach Lou and Coach Coach Lou and Coach Joyner, they really on me about the little things, attacking the run. Coach Lou really goes through the progressions of the drops and the routes that are being run when I have to go into coverage. Like when I was at Florida, it was like they would just tell me, go drop to this area, and I would have to figure out everything else on my own. But here, they go real into depth. I feel like I'm actually getting, developed here.
Excel that.
Wow. So not the best quality because I don't have – I don't have any good equipment here or anything like that. Wow. So, first of all, if I am in the Ole Miss recruiting department, that is being sent to literally every single player that I am recruiting. I hope you guys could hear that. Sorry. I know that's just playing it off a phone is just so just not good. Not good, but I have no other way to play it for you. And that's the best I got. But yes, I send that to every single recruit and not even just Florida, honestly, because although that is speaking directly poorly about Florida, that is such a billboard for what you are doing that just send that to everybody. But also, man, I did not expect the Billy Napier era to go like this, to be honest with you. And it shows how much I know, which is just very, very little. But when they hired Billy Napier, I thought, that's a great hire. That really is. I know that when Lane Kiffin was hired, that if for whatever reason that didn't go down, I thought Napier would be good. Or if Kiffin would have left after the first year or two, I had that thought of, well, Billy Napier's right there at Louisiana. he could come to Ole Miss and he could and would win. Apparently not. The collective's a disaster. Can't keep players on the roster. Although, frankly, quarterback play wasn't as bad as people said it was this past year, but still. Now they're going into a prove-it year with the most difficult schedule in all of college football. And this is what their former all-SEC caliber rush ends are saying about them while they stand behind the podium of a different school in the SEC. It is unfathomable to me that Florida has fallen that far. But again, it speaks great. I'm focusing on Florida. Maybe I shouldn't. It speaks incredible volumes to Ole Miss that this is now the reputation that they're going to have out there for portal players, and not just portal players. I mean, they brought in four stars on the defensive line from the high school ranks as well. This going around is just another thing that keeps happening there that other people are going to notice. We talk about it with the organization of NIL there. That's all. That's very real. But now when you've got a guy like him, an all-SEC guy, saying what he said, that's both really, really bad for Florida and really, really good for Ole Miss. It's a wild quote if you think about it from the Florida perspective. Absolutely wild. Ohio State fans jumping in to defend her on Twitter have no clue what they're in for. Oh, man. You know, after the way things happened at Ole Miss, you would think that, you know, you wouldn't do that. But I guess things don't change. So. Let's see. BS, BS, BS. Yeah. Wouldn't even take him if he wanted to come back for free. Such a cancer. I mean, I, let's pretend for a second that it is. I mean, if you're Lane Kiffin, you would have to, that would have to be a team decision, right? If fences are mended, then, you know, it's really only up to them to decide, right? I mean, I think that you don't bring him back without the team's approval, and you don't bring him back if the team doesn't approve of him. You know what I mean? So if it is real, pretend it's real, that's, yeah, that's what I would do. Assuming it was posted for clicks, yeah, well, I guess I'm, you know, falling into that category too, talking about it. But my gosh, you should have seen the text into the radio show today. Jeez. Spread like wildfire. So thank you for another super chat. You'd rather have Henry Parrish back than Q, to be honest. Appreciate you. Thank you for that. You know, nothing can move on that, I guess, until the portal actually opens, right? I mean, I guess it just doesn't matter anymore because there's no rules anymore because the South Carolina basketball player hits the portal and the Ohio State collective is already like, hey, we got him. And it's like, he just hit the portal. And I know it's different for basketball, obviously, because they can hit the portal now. But I guess we have to wait until the window actually opens for there to be real movement when it comes to the Henry Parrish thing. I haven't checked in on that at all since that happened. But I still expect him to go to Ole Miss, unless something has changed. But thank you. Parrish is a very good option for Ole Miss. Yes, he is. I did the video on that earlier. I guess, God, it's been about a week now, hasn't it? It's been a while, but yeah, and I talked about it with you guys here, put that in this feed. But, yes, it makes all the sense in the world. Coming back with Kevin Smith, You know he can be productive. You know he can produce. All that. He knows the system. He knows the school. Acclimation would go really, really well. No drama. I mean, he didn't leave on bad terms, right? Just followed Kevin Smith to Miami. Could possibly follow him right back. Smooth transition. I don't think he's going to, like, change the offense dramatically or the team ceiling, but I think that the ceiling is so incredibly high, they just need to have bodies in that room. He's putting reps with someone else. What are they supposed to do? Pay a backup running back a mil? Doesn't make sense for him to be at Ohio State, in your opinion? Yeah. It depends on how you would look at it. You can spin it and say splitting reps would allow him to keep some tread on his tires and get ready for the NFL. Ohio State doesn't make sense with Travion Henderson being there, but that is where he went. He went to Ohio State. And if I were advising him, I don't think I would have advised him to go to Ohio State considering the aforementioned Henderson being there. You know, we had the conversation on the show today, who's better, Judkins or Henderson? And I was, you know, I was kind of noncommittal, a little bit all over the place, but I'm just not ready to say that he's going to come in and steal Henderson's spot, you know? So if you're not guaranteed a start, why are you going there when you could have gone almost anywhere in the country? I don't know, but that decision has been made. Was there any friction between Parrish and the program for leaving, or was that all just a Kevin Smith thing? As far as I understand it, no. Now, there could be. There are people far more connected than me out there. So maybe there was. I don't think that there was. I thought that it was pretty rational. Not rational. That's not the word. Like normal, no big deal, no drama, whatever you want to describe it as. This guy's super chat. Yes, Brandon is wild, but he's he's awesome. And a big friend of the radio show as well. This two-hole hitter on Austin Peay is awesome. I mean, frankly, for Austin Peay, that team is awesome. I mean, they went into Mississippi State and took two. Just jumped on Ole Miss. I mean, just from the beginning, just jumped on Ole Miss. And it's impressive. Sorry, I know I'm pausing periodically. The Pelicans are coming back. They were down, I think, 20 in the first half, 21 in the first half, and they were down 19 in the second half, and they are knocking on the door of a huge win against the Thunder. So I'm trying to multitask and I can't multitask, and I am just failing. Just failing at it. Not just putting reps with an all conference first team back, hell of a running back room, but this isn't the old school. Let's run the I formation all game style of play anymore. Not sure if you'd want him back, but you could be convinced otherwise, but he left a bad taste in everyone's mouth. I mean, you know, here's the thing. The only way, like I said a second ago, but the only way that I could wrap my mind around it and rationalize it would be if the team is like, hell yeah, he's our guy, we're in, all good, bridges have been rebuilt, we are all in this together, all that stuff, you know? If that's what were to happen, then there's nothing that I could say that would be more, that would carry more weight than that. You know what I mean? So that would be the only way that I would tell the fan base to get back on board, is if you hear, I mean, all of the right things, all of the right things from the team, the players themselves. Let's go. Let's go. Ball game. Sorry. That was a huge one. You're all for this new rotation. It's not a guarantee, but Doyle on Saturday can be a Doug Nikhazy effect and win you a middle game most weeks, then just piece together one more win. And especially because I don't think, like Riley Maddux is punting. You know, that's not what his role is, or at least that's not what his ability says that his role can be. You know what I mean? I don't think that this is just, yeah, well, Fridays are really tough. You know, give them Friday. It's hard to win on Fridays, and so just throw anybody out there, and if you get lucky, fine. I don't think that that's Riley Maddux. Now, he's not like the super-duper overpowering arm or anything, but I do think that he'll keep the ball low. That's what he usually does anyway. He can eat some innings and get some outs and get Ole Miss into a position to win on most Friday nights. Is he a dominant arm? No, but does he have the ability, I think, to be a guy that can win them Friday night games without having the feeling of, wait a minute. Oh my God, my feed is so far behind. We lost. Unbelievable. We just choked it away completely. Choked it away. Goodness, this is what I get for using CBS Sports to update while I'm talking to you guys. What an embarrassment. Damn, that sucks. God, that sucks. Anyway, sorry. Don't like the prospects of Doyle versus Hagen Smith, and if he loses that battle, Ole Miss gets swept most likely. I mean, is there anybody? I can't believe I fist pumped the loss. That's so embarrassing, but, you know, that is kind of my brand. I don't like anybody's matchup against Arkansas. I mean, I really don't. They're so good. Parrish would be RB1 and would make sense. They're not seeing cube back. Bridges are burned. I'm not so sure that Parrish would be RB1 over Bentley. I'm not so sure. I don't think so. But the thing is, what I would expect to happen anyway, if Parrish does go to Ole Miss, and regardless if he doesn't, somebody will, I think it'll look a lot more like 2021 than 2023 when it comes to carry distribution. You know what I mean? So in 2021, they had four players with 500 yards rushing and over 100 carries. It was Corral, Ely, Connor, and Parrish. Yeah, Matt Corral had over 500 yards rushing because he was just a rock star in many ways at Ole Miss. But I think that this season will look a lot more like that because Judkins was an almost 300 carry guy. I don't think you're going to have an almost 300 carry guy. I think it's far more likely that you will see a more balanced workload in the running back room for Ole Miss in 2024, regardless of who they so happen to bring in. Now, I don't think it matters if it's Parrish, if it's an unnamed guy, if it's Judkins again, it just doesn't matter. That's what I think is more likely to happen. They'll never learn the curtain rod is just making you money. It's the best thing I have in this house, man. It really is, aside from, you know. Maybe Judkins returns to Oxford for a game in December. Judkins to Vandy, go Doors. Hey, we got, if that was from you, we got Nash, and we love Nash, by the way. Thank you so much for that, man. He was fired up when I took it out of the package for him. So he loved Nash. I actually, I got to give it to him today after school. And he was pumped up. So, man, that was way too kind. Thank you for that. And used to be afraid of mascots. Not afraid of mascots anymore. Because of I've kind of like forced the issue. Because his initial experience with mascots was like fear. Like, oh, no, I hate these guys. And so I kind of like made him go up and give him high fives and stuff and worked on getting that out of him. But he got Nash, and he was like, is he a mascot? I said, yeah, but he's a mascot. He goes, I love mascots. I was like, yes, it finally worked. And the end result was you. So thanks for that, man. On one hand, you want to win in the SEC and get a bye. On the other, I want to be in Oxford for a playoff game. that is going to be such an interesting thing to watch moving forward. Because here's the thing, Pat, about making the SEC championship. It's only worthwhile if you win the game in the 12-team format. No idea what the 14 one's going to look. I don't know. But in the 12-team format, going to the SEC championship is only beneficial if you win. Now, frankly, even if you win, it's still the same amount of games as if you don't make it at all. It's just you play 1 week earlier in your home stadium instead of getting a bye. It's the same number of games, though. But if you go to the SEC championship and lose, you play an extra game. The only way you don't play an extra game is if you go to the SEC championship and win. And now if you go, you expect to win. I understand that, but what if you don't? What if you run into Georgia in the SEC championship and you lose? Well, then you have to play one additional game. So not like you can control that decision. You want to win every game you play. So, you know, it's just more of like a fan discussion talking point than anything else. But it is it's an interesting subject for sure. I would rather play the home game if it's the same number of games, but that's just me. The quote in context isn't as bad, but it's still damning to Florida. Oh, you see, in context, it's okay. You know, everything when you hear the audio or see the video is not that bad, right? But think about it. Florida has an all-SEC defensive end standing behind a podium of another SEC school talking about how he feels like he's being developed for the first time. He feels like he's learning what he's supposed to do instead of just being told what to do with very little direction. That's tough. A few things on Princely. Florida has a lot of issues on both the field and as a program, NIL included, and they will come after Kiffin when they hire Napier. That is, I could be wrong. If slash when that job comes open, which I expect it to come open after the season, maybe things will change, but I expect it to come open. And when it does, I expect Kiffin to be on the list of candidates, and I expect them to hire somebody else. Because I think he would say no if he's number one. Now, he has to be number one to make it even a conversation. But I don't think it matters. If you made me bet right now, I would bet on somebody else, even if he's candidate number one. I do. Now, maybe with Ole Miss losing the entire roster basically after this season. I mean, Pro Day is tomorrow at Ole Miss. This time next year, Pro Day is going to be a spectacle for a lot of reasons. But right now, Pro Day is simply just kind of, you know, nondescript. It's kind of nondescript at State today too. But next year, it's going to be insane. And so maybe after you lose all that, he could be looking for a, I don't know. I'm just kind of talking at this point. I don't think that he's going to Florida. Long-winded way, runaround way to say that I don't think that that would be a thing that would happen. Appreciate the super chat. Damn, that's a Napier. Damn, that's a Napier is fired for sure clip. Speaks poorly about Austin Armstrong as well, who did a really good job at Southern Miss and went to Florida, and it did not go well in year one. So surprised by that too, because he was really good at Southern Miss. I know SEC, Sun Belt, different, but he was really good at Southern Miss. So it's 15-3 in the top, or excuse me, 13-5 in the top of the ninth. So I'm going to go ahead and just assume Ole Miss wins so they keep some positive momentum. I know they got run ruled twice in Knoxville, but just continuing to win and play good baseball, especially after a rocky start in this game, that's a good sign. So appreciate the super chat, man. Thank you. He didn't always give 100% at Florida. To be fair, he was one of their best players, though. Maybe Ole Miss is just that better. Perhaps some of the effort issue is that it's, if I could read, perhaps some of that effort issue that isn't just on Princely is a huge Florida problem. Yeah, it could be motivation. Could be, I mean, if you don't know where you're going, do you drive as fast? It's a very similar concept in sports, right? If you're not confident in what you're doing, then you're probably going to either do it wrong or half speed. So maybe there's some of that as well. So, yeah. Obviously, a playoff would be better, but you don't think Ole Miss is quite reaching that this year. You mean the SEC championship? There's clearly some substance to this, as Neil McCready confirmed he heard the same rumors. Confirming you hear rumors, you know, there. Sure, let's talk about that. First of all, he only confirmed that he heard rumors, could not substantiate them. There's two different things, like I said before. But I would love for you, next time Neil does a mailbag, because he does that as part of his content offering, ask him how many rumors he hears every day that end up not being true. It's a great rock album, though. And hey, this one could be true. Again, there was contact made about a return shortly after the breakup. There was some kind of communication about a return. That happened. So maybe that has continued. It's entirely possible that it has. How did Simmons do tonight? Excellent. Excellent. He's going to be a star. He's already approaching stardom. What is so interesting, though, is I don't think you can be the starting quarterback and pitch. I don't think you can do both. And man, his physical ability is that of somebody that very well could be in line to start in 2025. I mean, he'll have to battle Walker Howard, but I think it would be a massive mistake to just assume Walker Howard he's the next guy and he's going to start and that's it. You know, it's done. It's not done. So that's not a conversation that needs to be had today because of his expected limited role in football this year. But he's a star. He's going to be a star in baseball if he wants to be. He's going to be a star in football, it seems, if he wants to be. You just keep looking at the schedule and you just don't see more than two losses. It would be a terrible disappointment. They will be at least a double-digit favorite in their first six games. Yeah, and of course, knock on wood, it's injury health. I mean, that is the X factor. But yes, I think that when you look at the schedule, they will be favored in 10 of their 12 games. There's a chance they're favored in Baton Rouge, but they may not be. And there's a chance they're favored at home with Georgia, although Georgia's still going to be a wagon. But there's a chance they're not. I think that as of today, if odds were set for every game, they would be at least the favorite in 10 of those games. If things go to chalk, they will, you know, they'll win 10 games. I'm curious to see a couple of things offensively. If the newfound tight end depth creates a couple of different things. One, more dynamic uses of the tight end, like what you saw in the Peach Bowl with Priestcorn now that he's healthy, but also more of a power running game and a ball control game, two tight end sets, stuff like that, since they do have some depth there now. They have four tight ends, two of which have played really meaningful snaps at the Power 5 level. So maybe they can be a little bit more flexible offensively. They can go fast and spread it out with their wide receivers. They can line up and be tough and run it right at you. But the story will be the lines of scrimmage. And have they caught up to Georgia on the lines of scrimmage? Did they do enough in the portal to balance that out? But yeah, they'll be favored right now in double-digit games, barring injury. Maybe Bianco takes Carmack off the midweek spot. Tekoyan could be the next guy there. Or Mendez maybe also could be somebody that they use in that spot. A lot of options. It's nice though when you can solve these problems when your offense is scoring, you know, 13 runs or whatever it is. So you think Judkins is the better back, but Henderson will start. In Q's defense, he committed to transfer to Ohio State before Henderson announced he was coming back. Yeah. Did I see the crazy cruise ship accident? Well, it wasn't a cruise ship. Right? It's a cargo ship. Now you've got me questioning myself. But yes, I saw it. Just an absolute... Yes, it was a cargo ship. Just an absolute tragedy. Unfathomable, really, how that can happen. They're very lucky that it was at that time of day. And it was still tragic and loss of life. But anyway. Is this the most mentally tough Ole Miss team in a while? I think so. I think that they have shown signs of that in different ways throughout the season. Now what they've got to do is figure out a weekend rotation that works, right? But, yeah, I do like – I mean, again, tonight. I mean, you saw it tonight. They got punched in the mouth right away. Austin Peay, first two guys hit home runs. They smack the ball over the yard. And then what does Ole Miss do immediately in response? They are absolutely more of a gritty team than – sure as hell than last year's team. No doubt about it. John Hess is going to be on The Bachelorette. I saw that. And then another former – Lane Kiffin player is going to be on The Bachelorette as well. We'll find out how mentally tough this team will be in Baton Rouge. Yes, because they're not really going to be tested that hard until that night. They're not. I mean, Wake Forest isn't going to give them much. But most of these guys are battle-tested, though. You know, that should give you some confidence. It's not like it's a transfer quarterback coming in from the Pac-12 or something, right? Jackson Dart's seen it all. You know, he's played in Tiger Stadium. It was during the day, but still, he's played there. He's played in Tuscaloosa. He's played in College Station. That won't affect him really at all. Frankly, I think that things could change, but this team has the makeup of one that could excel on the road compared to teams of the past, just with how veteran they are and how experienced they are. You'd rather have Parrish for the offense that they're going to run this year? I completely understand. Absolutely. Appreciate you with the super chat, man. Thank you. Call the cops, just all the Pelicans pull your heart out. Yeah, God. Again, I saw it go final. I'm looking over here, see it go final, and I knew we were up three with a minute to go, and I just assumed that it was good news, but nope. Awful. Actually, pretty, pretty, pretty awful. But anyway, you know, Jonas Valanciunas needs to play more. That's what needs to happen. But you guys don't care about that at all. You keep beating the drum of the LSU game, you will consider Georgia a free shot no matter what because of how far ahead they are. Could be the biggest regular season moment of the Kiffin era. Speaking of Corral, he suited up in the USFL XFL League this weekend. Yep, absolutely. I hope it works out for him. This does kind of feel like it's a last shot, and I hope it works because, man, he was just going from him to Jackson Dart is pretty incredible if you think about it. It's pretty incredible going from him to Jackson Dart. The quarterbacks, not only with their ability, I mean, it's hard for programs, great programs, to go from objectively great college quarterback to objectively great college quarterback. That is hard to do. And here Ole Miss is going from Matt Corral, objectively great college quarterback, to Jackson Dart, the same, but also like the mental makeup. What kind of players that they are, the edge that they play with, that attitude is so unique for a quarterback. Go watch the entire Umane Mielen interview if you haven't already. Listen to the way he talks about Jackson. It's another indictment on Florida and the personnel that they have there. But listen to the way he talks about Jackson. That's unique to go from one to the other. 100% here for the curtain, by the way. Kidding, love the commentary. Thank you. Glad that you are here. Both teams should be undefeated. Ole Miss top five and LSU top 10 with wins over USC and UCLA. Are we sure LSU's beaten USC? LSU is really bad in season openers, apparently, under Brian Kelly. Nice haircut. Thank you. Appreciate that. Noble Barber. Calling us on Nash. Yeah, man. Thank you so much for that. That was awesome. He loved it. It will be 2014-esque. Yeah, hopefully with some more offense. Wow. Holy. Thank you for your super chat. Again, my goodness, man. You are too kind. Thank you. I want the Natty over everything. I want a home game as a 5 seed, and let's get Coach Kiffin $13 million a year. I'm curious to know when the NFL is going to give him a look. That's what I would like to know, is at what point does an NFL team – because college to the NFL hasn't worked, right? Cliff Kingsbury didn't work. Matt Rhule didn't work. It's not exact. Urban Meyer didn't work. Hadn't really been a successful thing as of late. Pete Carroll won NFL, college, NFL, so that didn't even really count. Bill O'Brien didn't work, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But I can't help but wonder if he's going to get a shot. You don't see Kiffin going to Florida unless they pull a miracle turnaround on their collective. And once you're behind, it's hard to catch up because everything just kind of keeps on growing. Oh, you don't think Ole Miss would get a first-round bye? That's what you meant? Yeah, I don't either at this point. I think Georgia's going to win the SEC. You know, breaking news, more than 11. The best collection of players in college football is going to win a lot of games. So imagine that. If Simmons beats out Howard for 25, you see Howard leaving. Wouldn't surprise me. I mean, I don't know what he's thinking or what he values when it comes to that. But yeah, that wouldn't surprise me. Also, Kiffin did somewhat tweak his opinion about the headpiece in the quarterback's helmet after practicing with it. He didn't somewhat tweak it. He completely changed his mind. I mean, a 180 reversal, loves it now, calls it a cheat code for this offense. Any thoughts on the headset use with the players? Yeah, I frankly, it's not going to impact us at all, right? Because I saw the takes after the 2-minute warning and then this was added and people were like, oh, college is becoming more like the NFL and we can't stand for this. And it's like, you're not even going to notice this. You won't notice at all. If anything, you might be able to see better 2-minute drill. What was the first thing that came to my mind, what was that you're going to see better 2-minute drill, just easier to get that stuff in, maybe a little less chaotic. But I'm excited to hear more from Kiffin about that, honestly. You know, why is it a cheat code? What has it changed about the way you are going to conduct offense? Because they have to cut it off with 15 seconds. It's not like he can coach Jackson between every play, right? It's really just enough time to get plays in and that's it. So I'm curious and excited to hear more of an expanded thought from him on that. But you got some good insight on it today. What does Oklahoma's schedule look like before Ole Miss? Let's see. If I remember correctly, they had a difficult game before they came to Oxford. Remember, Ole Miss has a bye before Oklahoma, which is obviously helpful. This is the year of two byes. I think there should always be two byes on the schedule, but that is just me. Okay, Oklahoma, they have South Carolina at home. So I don't think South Carolina is going to be a particularly good team. However, they do have South Carolina at home. Well, Ole Miss is, yeah. Do I think 9-3 and missing the playoff would give Kiffin any motivation to leave, especially if big programs are open like Florida or others? That's a good question. I don't know. Because, call me crazy, I think that barring injury, because that changes things, obviously, but barring injury, 9-3 would be a disappointment because I assume that would miss the playoff. By the way, final 13-9, Austin Peay tried to come back in the ninth and they didn't. So, you know, Bats, big, not big, midweek win. It is not big by any stretch, but certainly noteworthy. Got punched in the mouth early, like I said before, and Bats came alive, and this is an Austin Peay team that beat Mississippi State twice in the midweek. So, you know, they're certainly capable of doing so, and sure enough, they did not. So, nice win. Good to see going into an important weekend. If the NFL never looks at Kiffin again, does he stay here a while until the next Auburn comes open? Yeah, but it won't be anybody like Auburn. I think that things have changed a lot over the last couple of years, it seems. From both sides, too. Ole Miss has changed a lot. And it seems like he has, too. So I really don't think that list is very long of places he would go. Like I said, I don't think Florida's on it. Auburn's not on it. It's a small number of places. Very small. Very small number of places, I think. Appreciate the super chat. Another indictment on Florida is Corral playing at Ole Miss. That's very fair. Very fair. Dan Mullen basically told Corral to get lost and he chose Ole Miss. Yeah. Does Ole Miss incorporate a play sheet on wristbands with the new headset ruling? I don't think so. I don't know, though. I honestly don't know. I've got to see it in practice, and we won't really get a good look until the spring game, but the spring game might not be a game. Like there's a chance that it's not really a spring game, so we won't even get a look then. So Austin Peay may be a thorn in someone's side in the tournament if they make it. Absolutely, they would. You bet Auburn comes open again while Kiffin is at Ole Miss. December of 2025, perhaps. Wouldn't surprise me one bit. If Kiffin goes anywhere in Florida, it'll be Miami, so he can walk out of his office and catch a Marlin after practice. I guess so, but man, Miami's not in the conference that they need to be in. They're not. And if Florida State and Clemson are successful in blowing up the ACC, does Miami have a home? I don't know. I don't think so. Maybe locale will get them into the Big Ten, for example, but what does Miami add to the SEC? Nothing. They're already in the state of Florida. They don't have a robust fan base to speak of. I guess they have the U brand, but man, that's long gone. You know, it's long gone. I don't know if Miami really adds anything. It's a very good school, despite, you know, the antics of the U. It's a good school. It's a private school. But off-campus, NFL stadium, small fan base, you know, kind of way down there. What do they add? So if the ACC blows up, they may not have a home, and it just may not be a job that anybody wants. It's crazy that you don't think that Coach Kiffin is going anywhere for a while. Dude has it made. He does have it made. Absolutely has it made. Ole Miss has become a very good job under Lane Kiffin. Ole Miss is to credit for that, but so is Lane Kiffin. You know, it goes both ways. Absolutely. How'd my bracket go? Horrible. But that's to be expected. Miami hasn't been relevant in so long. No, they haven't. The SEC takes Miami and a few schools just so the Big Ten doesn't come into the region. But why would, I mean, I don't see the benefit. I do not see the benefit at all. Not at all. SEC would take Virginia and North Carolina. Absolutely.
I don't think Miami's on that list. I don't. It's all up to ESPN and money and stuff like that. But anyway, gone well over an hour. And not well over an hour, just over an hour. And it's getting late, so I appreciate you guys going to go ahead and hang it up. Thank you. Ole Miss Baseball wins a midweek game and stuff like that. So midweek game, Bianco new rotation. Rumors being what they are, could be true. Certainly could be true. We will just have to wait and see. So anyway, thank you guys so much. Appreciate you. As always, don't forget to subscribe to the podcast if you have not already. And we'll see you on Thursday night, 8 o'clock. See you then.
A Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.